Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. So yesterday I turned 37, so I'll take your happy birthday wishes. Thank you very much for those. And, you know, over time I've become less of a birthday person. I don't really do much for my birthday. We're just our current after the, you know, leak fiasco. The birthday gift is having little Ezra bouncing around the house as he does and trying to get our place clean. That was enough for me. But there is one thing. I become less of a, you know, I'm trying very hard at the moment to cut down on the amount of unnecessary clutter and junk in our place. But oddly, the flip side of that is that I've become more proud of good quality possessions. And there's one thing that for my birthday, I'm going to get myself, and it is a good quality head torch. I'm currently wearing one. I look like one of those people you see in the the aftermath of an earthquake where there's these first responders crawling over the rubble, except that I'm just clearing out stuff from behind the couch. But we talked about preparedness and all that stuff and the value of torches. And we had an episode on good quality torches. And Corin, in his wisdom, said that if there's only one torch I would own, I'd recommend a head torch every time. And Corin, I get where you're coming from 100%. These things are actually pretty transformative because the downside of a conventional torch or a flashlight is that you have to hold it. So since, these are really practical, I use them all the time. I use this thing that I have attached currently to my head. I'm using it whenever I'm working on my computers, changing out parts. And there's something very interesting about a good quality torch, which is I'm atrocious at losing things, misplacing things around the house. And when you're working in kind of a tight space like the server rack and you're trying to, you know, find wherever you put that screwdriver, there's something about having a good quality light just kind of sweep around that space, even though it sounds obvious, even if you have, like, you know, the lights on in the room, but having a good quality torch just makes it so much easier to see exactly what you're doing, especially when you're working on very small things like, let's say, the motherboard of a computer and you're trying to get a cable into a slot and it has to go in exactly the right way. So this is what I'm going to get for my birthday. I want to get a good quality one. The current one I have is like some kind of AliExpress product, and it tends to just run out of power randomly, even when it's got a good charge. And that's where these AliExpress products really fall down, is quality. So Herman and Corin, for those who like these things more in the context of, let's say, other folks maybe who enjoy tinkering around the house, DIY, we're not looking for something necessarily that's, you know, first responder grade, but I do want something that's good quality and reliable. What are the brands, Herman and Corin? We mentioned that Made in the USA is actually often a pretty good thing to be looking for when you're looking for high quality torches. There's a lot of great flashlight companies that have their manufacturing still in the US. Within the headlight sub area of lamp gear specifically, what would you recommend for someone wanting to buy something that's good quality? It's going to stand the test of time and it lives up to that. There's a subreddit called BIFL, Buy It For Life. Something that you buy and that's going to actually stick with you for the long haul. Herman and Corin, I'd love to get your consumer purchasing guide to head torches in today's episode of My Weird Prompts.
Hey everyone. Welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are coming to you from a somewhat rainy Jerusalem today, and I am here with my brother, as always.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And, Corin, I have to say, I am feeling particularly energized today. Maybe it is the weather, or maybe it is just the satisfaction of a well-organized toolkit.
It is definitely the toolkit. I saw you rearranging your hex keys for 2 hours last night. But before we dive into today's topic, we have a very special occasion to acknowledge. Our housemate and dear friend Daniel just turned 37 yesterday. So, happy birthday, Daniel.
Happy birthday indeed. 37 is a great year. It is that perfect midpoint where you still have the energy to tackle big projects, but you finally have the wisdom to stop buying cheap tools that break after 3 uses. It is the age where you realize that a tool that fails you in the middle of a job is not just a nuisance, it is a personal insult to your time and effort.
Which is exactly why Daniel sent us the prompt for today's episode. He is looking to upgrade his gear. He mentioned that he is tired of the clutter and the low-quality stuff, and he wants to invest in a truly high-quality, durable head torch. Something that fits the buy-it-for-life standard. He specifically mentioned he wants to stop the cycle of buying a $20 plastic light every 2 years.
I love this topic. It is so practical. Daniel mentioned he is currently using some generic one from an online marketplace that randomly dies on him, which is the absolute worst when you are deep inside a computer case or under a sink. There is nothing quite like the frustration of having your light source fail when your hands are covered in thermal paste or plumbing grease. And it is not just the battery dying, it is the flickering, the parasitic drain that kills the battery while it sits in the drawer, and the terrible blue-tinted light that makes everything look like a low-budget horror movie.
Exactly. And I remember we talked about torches in general way back in the early days of the show, but focusing specifically on headlamps for DIY and tinkering is a different beast. It is about ergonomics, light quality, and reliability over the long haul. You need something that stays put when you are leaning over a motherboard, but also something that does not give you a headache after 20 minutes. So, Herman, where do we even begin with a consumer guide for the Buy It For Life head torch?
Well, if we are looking for something that is going to stand the test of time, we have to look past the marketing fluff. Most people just look at the lumen count on the box and think, oh, this one says 2,000 lumens, it must be better than the one that says 500. But in the world of high-end lighting, that is a massive misconception. In fact, it is often a red flag.
Right, because those high lumen ratings are often just a burst mode that lasts for 30 seconds before the light overheats and dims down to protect itself. It is like a car that can go 200 miles per hour, but only for the length of a driveway.
Precisely. For a tinkerer or a DIY enthusiast, you do not need a searchlight that can signal a ship at sea. You need a consistent, high-quality beam that stays steady for hours. If I am looking for a buy-it-for-life headlamp, the first thing I look at is the build material. Most of the stuff you find at the big box stores is made of thin, injection-molded plastic. Over time, those hinges get brittle and snap, or the battery door tab breaks off. A true buy-it-for-life light is usually going to be made of machined aerospace-grade aluminum, specifically 6061 T6 aluminum with Type 3 hard anodized coating.
I can see why that matters. Aluminum acts as a heat sink too, right? It draws the heat away from the light-emitting diode, which actually extends the life of the electronics.
Spot on. Heat is the enemy of electronics. If an LED runs too hot, its lifespan drops from 50,000 hours to maybe a few hundred. And it is not just the shell, it is what is inside. There is a term in the high-end flashlight community called potting. This is where the manufacturer fills the space around the circuit board with a special non-conductive resin. It makes the electronics virtually immune to vibration, impact, and even heavy moisture. If you drop a potted light onto a concrete floor, it keeps working. A cheap light will often have a solder joint fail from that kind of shock.
That is a great detail. I think a lot of people do not realize that the internal robustness is just as important as the outer casing. But let's talk about the light itself. Daniel mentioned he is working on computer parts and server racks. When you are looking at tiny components, what should you be looking for in terms of the light quality?
This is where we get into the color rendering index, or CRI. This is a big one for tinkerers. Most cheap light emitting diodes have a low CRI, usually around 70. They tend to have a very cool bluish tint. This makes everything look washed out and can actually make it hard to distinguish between different colored wires. If you are trying to tell a dark red wire from a brown wire in a cramped space, a low CRI light is your enemy.
I have definitely been there. You end up squinting and moving the light around, trying to get a better look, and you still end up making a mistake because the colors just don't look right.
Exactly. A high-end headlamp will often offer a high CRI option, usually 90 or above. It mimics natural sunlight much better. It makes colors pop and reduces eye strain during long projects. For a buy it for life recommendation, I always suggest looking for a neutral white light, around 4000 to 5000 Kelvin, with high color rendering. Specifically, you want to look for the R9 value, which represents how well the light renders deep reds. Cheap lights are notoriously bad at this, making everything look sickly and gray.
So we have build quality and light quality. What about power? Daniel mentioned his current light runs out of power randomly. Should he be looking for something with a built-in rechargeable battery, or something that takes standard double? Batteries?
That is a bit of a debate in the community, but for a buy-it-for-life standard, I lean toward lights that use standardized replaceable lithium-ion batteries, specifically the 18650 size. Or, if you want even more runtime, the 21700 size, which is becoming the new standard in 2026.
Wait, explain that to the listeners who might not be familiar. That is not a battery you just pick up at the grocery store checkout, right?
Not usually, no. The 18650 is a rechargeable cell that looks like an oversized AA battery. It is the same type of cell that was inside laptop battery packs for years, and is the backbone of many electric vehicle battery packs. The reason it is the gold standard for high-end torches is energy density. One 18650 can hold as much energy as about 4 or 5 AAA batteries, but it is much more efficient at delivering high current.
And if the battery eventually stops holding a charge after 5 years, you just buy a new cell instead of throwing away the whole headlamp.
Exactly. That is the key to buy it for life. If the battery is sealed inside the unit, the entire product has a predetermined expiration date. Once that internal lithium polymer pouch swells or loses capacity, the light is e-waste. With a replaceable cell, the housing can literally last decades. Now, some people prefer AA or AAA batteries because you can find them anywhere. But for a serious tinkerer, the performance of lithium ion is just leagues ahead. Plus, you can get 18650 cells with built-in USB-C charging ports now, so you don't even need a separate charger.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics. Daniel specifically asked for brands and models. If he had to pick a few that really represent that top-tier durability, what are the names that come to mind?
If we are talking about the absolute peak of enthusiast-grade headlamps, the name that always comes up is Zebralight. They are a smaller company based in Texas, but their reputation is legendary. They make lights that are incredibly compact, machined from a single piece of aluminum, and they have some of the most efficient drivers in the industry.
I have seen those. They have a very distinct look. They're almost utilitarian, right? No rubber over molds or flashy logos.
Very much so. No flashy colors or unnecessary plastic bits. They use a side switch design, which is very reliable. But what really sets them apart is their user interface. You can program them to have exactly the brightness levels you want. And their low light modes, what they call moonlight modes, are incredible. If you are working in a dark room and do not want to blind yourself, you can set it to a fraction of a lumen. It is perfect for delicate work where you just need a tiny bit of light to see a jumper pin.
And they offer those high CRI options you mentioned?
They do. They often use high quality emitters from companies like Nichia or Samsung. If Daniel wants a headlamp that he can still be using when he is 50, a Zebralight H600 series is a very strong contender. Specifically, the H600 FC or H600 FD models. The F stands for frosted lens, which gives you that beautiful, even flood of light we talked about. The only downside is that they can be a bit hard to find in stock sometimes because they are so popular with the enthusiast crowd.
What about something a bit more accessible? You mentioned Petzl or Black Diamond earlier when we were chatting. Do they have anything that meets the buy-it-for-life standard?
Petzl is a fascinating company. They are French, and they have been in the lighting game for a long time. They basically invented the modern headlamp. For a professional-grade option, their Duo or Pixelines are built like tanks. They are designed for industrial use, caving, and construction. They are waterproof, chemical-resistant, and can survive being stepped on by a work boot.
I imagine they are a bit bulkier, though.
They are. They are definitely more geared toward the first responder or industrial worker vibe. But for home DIY, Petzl has a line called the Swift RL. It is a bit more modern, very bright, and has reactive lighting technology. It actually uses a sensor to measure the reflected light and adjust the brightness automatically. If you look down at a map or a circuit board, it dims so you do not get glare. If you look across the room, it brightens up.
That sounds useful. But is a sensor like that a potential point of failure for a buy-it-for-life product?
That is a very astute question, Korn. In the purest sense, yes. The more complexity you add, the more there is to go wrong. If you want the ultimate in simplicity and longevity, a manual light like the Zebra Light or a Surefire is probably a safer bet, but Petzl's build quality is high enough that I would still trust it for many years. However, for Daniel's specific tinkering needs, the reactive lighting can sometimes be annoying if it catches a reflection off a shiny piece of solder and dims when you don't want it to.
You mentioned Surefire. They are a big name in the tactical and law enforcement world. Do they make a headlamp that fits the bill?
They do, and it is a beast. The Surefire Maximus is probably the most rugged headlamp on the market. It is made of magnesium, not even aluminum, so it is incredibly light but incredibly strong. It has a dial on the side that allows you to vary the brightness from 1 lumen up to 1,000 lumens with a single hand. No clicking through menus, just a smooth dial.
Magnesium! That is interesting. I know that is used in high-end camera bodies for the same reason.
Precisely. It is also made in the United States, which Daniel mentioned as something he appreciates. Surefire's warranty and customer service are also top-notch. If anything goes wrong, they stand by their products. The catch is the price. A Maximus will set you back significantly more than a standard headlamp. We are talking over $250 in today's market. But again, if the goal is to buy it once and never buy another one, it is a serious investment.
It is that old saying, buy once, cry once.
Exactly. And for someone like Daniel, who appreciates good engineering, the feel of a Surefire or a Zebra Light in your hand is just different. You can tell it was designed by people who actually use these tools. There is no rattle, no cheap plastic creak.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about misconceptions. You said more lumens aren't always better. Can you expand on that for the DIY context? Why would someone want a lower lumen light for tinkering?
Think about working inside a white painted cabinet or a shiny computer case. If you hit that with 1,000 lumens of cool white light, the reflection is going to be blinding. You will get hot spots that wash out all the detail. What you actually want is a very wide, even flood beam. This is achieved through either a frosted lens or a multi-LED setup.
So it is about the shape of the light, not just the power.
Right. Most headlamps have a reflector that creates a bright spot in the middle and a dimmer spill around the edges. For hiking or running, that is great because you want to see far ahead. But for DIY, that hot spot is annoying. You want what is called a mule or a frosted lens. It spreads the light out perfectly evenly across your entire field of vision. It feels more like the whole area is just illuminated, rather than having a flashlight strapped to your head.
I never thought about that, but it makes total sense. When I am working on something close up, I do not want to have to keep moving my head just to keep the bright spot on the screw I am trying to turn.
Exactly. A good flood beam allows you to move your eyes naturally without moving your whole head. Some headlamps, like certain models from a company called Armitech, are specifically marketed as having a wide flood for work. Armitech is another brand worth looking into. They are based in Canada, and their lights are incredibly tough. They often have a 10-meter impact resistance rating. You could literally throw one off a 3-story building, and it would probably be fine.
10 meters? That is impressive. I think most people's headlamps would be in pieces after a 10-foot drop.
Oh, absolutely. Most consumer-grade stuff is only rated for 1 meter, if that. And that is where the second-order effects of buying high-quality gear come in. It is not just about the light working, it is about the peace of mind. When you are halfway through a project and you accidentally knock your headlamp off the workbench, you do not want that to be the end of your day. The Armitech Wizard C2 Pro is a fantastic choice here. It has a magnetic tail cap, which is a huge bonus for DIY.
Oh, tell me more about that. Why a magnet?
Well, if you are working on a server rack or under a car, you can pop the light out of its headband and stick it directly to any steel surface. It turns your headlamp into a stationary work light. It is incredibly versatile. Plus, the Armitech uses a magnetic charging cable, so you don't even have to open the battery compartment to charge it. It just snaps onto the back.
That sounds convenient, but does a magnetic charger hold up over time?
It is actually better for waterproofing. Since there is no USB port with a rubber flap that can tear or leak, the light can be fully submerged. Armitech rates their lights for 10 meters of water depth. It is overkill for fixing a sink, but it means you never have to worry about it.
So we have talked about Zebra Light, Surefire, Petzl, and Armitech. There was one other brand Daniel mentioned, or at least he mentioned the Made in USA aspect. What about Princeton Tech? I know they have a lot of manufacturing in New Jersey.
Princeton Tech is a great middle ground option. They are a family-owned company, and a lot of their products are indeed made in the United States. Their Apex model has been a staple in the outdoor and professional world for nearly two decades. It is not as fancy as a Zebralite in terms of electronics, but it is a workhorse. It uses a heatsink on the front to keep the LEDs cool, which was very innovative when it first came out.
Two decades? That is a long time for a single model to stay relevant.
It has been updated with better light-emitting diodes over the years, but the core design is the same. It uses four double A batteries in a pack on the back of the head, which makes it a bit heavier, but for some people, the convenience of being able to find batteries at any corner store is worth the wait. They also have a model called the Viz, which is a bit more modern and compact.
So if someone is looking for that Made in USA stamp without the surefire price tag, Princeton Tech is a solid choice?
Definitely. They are very reliable, and their customer service is excellent. They are the kind of company that actually answers the phone when you call with a question. They also have a great tactical line if you need something that mounts to a helmet or has different colored LEDs for preserving night vision.
Now, let's talk about the headband itself. That seems like a common failure point. The elastic gets stretched out, or the plastic clips break. Is there a buy-it-for-life solution for the strap?
That is the one part of a headlamp that is truly a consumable. No matter how good the elastic is, it will eventually lose its stretch after a few years of use and sweat. The key for a buy-it-for-life product is that the strap should be easily replaceable with a standard size. You want to avoid lights where the strap is permanently glued or integrated into the housing in a weird way.
So you want something that uses a standard 1-inch webbing or a common mounting system.
Exactly. Companies like Zebralite and ArmyTech use simple silicone holders that the light pops into. You can easily swap the strap for a new one from any number of manufacturers. Some people even upgrade to high-end straps from companies like Skillhunt or even custom makers on forums. There's actually a very popular headband from the Skillhunt H04 that people buy just to use with their Zebralites because it has a really nice quick-release clip.
I love the idea of a headlamp having its own aftermarket ecosystem. That is when you know you have moved into the enthusiast realm.
It really is. And there is a practical side to it, too. A good strap should be comfortable enough that you forget you are wearing it. For long DIY sessions, you want a strap that breathes well and doesn't create pressure points. Some of the better ones have a top strap that goes over the crown of your head to help distribute the weight, especially if you are using a larger battery like the 18650. If the light is under 100 grams, you can usually get away without the top strap.
That makes sense. I have used some of those heavier lights without the top strap, and they tend to slide down your forehead as soon as you start moving around or sweating.
It is the worst. You end up tightening it so much that you get a headache. A well-designed headband system is just as important as the light itself for a good user experience. Another thing to look for is the tilt mechanism. Cheap lights use a plastic ratchet that wears out until the light just flops down. High-end lights like the Zebralite use friction in a silicone holder, which never wears out and allows for infinite adjustment.
So, Herman, if you were in Daniel's shoes, turning 37, looking to clear out the clutter, and get one perfect headlamp for tinkering and home projects, which one would you actually pull the trigger on?
It is a tough choice, but for the specific needs of a tinkerer, I would go with the Zebralite H6000C. The C stands for high CRI, and the F stands for frosted. It is the perfect blend of incredible build quality, compact size, and light quality that makes working on small parts a joy. It is a piece of engineering that you can appreciate every time you click it on. It is so small you can almost forget it is on your head, but it packs enough power to light up a whole room if you need it to.
And for someone who might want something a bit more rugged, maybe for outdoor projects or more heavy-duty DIY.
Then I would look at the ArmyTech Wizard C2 Pro Max. It uses the larger 21700 battery for massive runtime. It is arguably even tougher than the Zebralite. It comes with a built-in magnetic USB charger, and that tail cap magnet is just too useful to ignore. It is a bit heavier, but it is a tank.
I want to touch on one more thing before we wrap up. We talked about the buy-it-for-life aspect. How do these brands handle repairs? If a Zebralite actually does break after 7 years, can you get it fixed?
That is the one caveat with Zebralite. Because they pot their electronics in resin for durability, they are almost impossible to repair. However, they offer a flat fee out-of-warranty repair service where they basically replace the internals for you. Surefire, on the other hand, is famous for their no-questions-asked warranty. If it breaks, they fix it or replace it. That is part of what you are paying for with that higher price tag.
That is an important distinction. True BIFL isn't just about the object not breaking, it is about the company standing behind it when it eventually does.
Exactly. And for Daniel, who is working on servers and computers, I would also suggest he looks into a Mule version of these lights. A Mule has no lens or reflector at all. It is just the bare LED. It provides a perfect 120-degree beam of light with no hot spot whatsoever. For working inside a computer case, it is like having a miniature sun inside the box. It is the ultimate for close-up work.
This has been fascinating. I think we have covered a lot of ground here, from battery chemistry to color rendering to the merits of magnesium versus aluminum. It really goes to show that even something as simple as a headlamp has a whole world of depth if you are willing to look for it.
It really does. And I think that is the core of the Buy It for Life philosophy. It is about respecting the tools we use and choosing things that were built with intention. Instead of buying 5 cheap headlamps over the next decade and sending them all to a landfill, you buy one great one that you might even pass down to your kids one day. It is about reducing waste and increasing the quality of your experience.
I love that. And Daniel, I hope this helps you find that perfect birthday gift for yourself. It sounds like you are on the right track with wanting to simplify and focus on quality. You deserve a light that works as hard as you do.
Absolutely. And if you are listening and you have a favorite piece of gear that has stood the test of time, we would love to hear about it. Maybe we can do a whole series on these Buy It for Life essentials. We could talk about the best mechanical pencils, the best screwdrivers, or even the best boots.
That is a great idea. We could look at everything from multi-tools to cast iron skillets. There is something very satisfying about things that just work, year after year. It builds a kind of relationship with your tools.
It is the ultimate antidote to our modern throwaway culture. When you have a tool you can trust, you are more likely to take on those difficult projects because you know your gear won't let you down.
Well said, Herman. And hey, before we wrap up, I just want to say to our listeners, if you are enjoying these deep dives, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find the show and helps us keep this collaboration going. We have been doing this for a long time, and your support means the world to us.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And remember, you can find all our past episodes, all 508 of them, at myweirdprompts.com. We have covered everything from ancient history to the latest tech trends of 2026.
We certainly have. We might have talked about something similar to this before. So if you want to dig deeper into the world of tools and gear, definitely check out the archive on our website. We have a whole category dedicated to the gear of life.
It is a bit of a rabbit hole, but a fun one. You might find yourself looking at the metallurgy of pocket knives at 3 a.m, but hey, that is what we are here for.
All right. I think that just about covers it for today. Happy birthday again to Daniel. And thanks to everyone for tuning in. We hope your projects are well lit and your batteries are always full.
This has been My Weird Prompts. We will see you next time.
Goodbye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.